This is a special edition. News 102.3. Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. And the home of the three big things you need to know. Listen on air, online at KRMG.com and on the KRMG app. The KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour starts now.
Good morning. 8 o'clock, actually 8:01. 72 degrees, cloudy in Tulsa. We get up to 88. Some places over 90 today. Very humid, and then chance of severe storms late tonight. We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter, number three. Happening today, former FBI Director Robert Mueller begins his new role as leader of the investigation into Russian meddling in the U.S. election. The Justice Department appointing Mueller's special counselor over that investigation yesterday. He'll have sweeping powers to investigate and take that probe in whatever direction it leads. Number two. Breaking news early this morning, a homicide in East Tulsa. Police say it's a woman shot in the forehead near 41st Street and 129th East Avenue. And number one, our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. This is a special 8 a.m. in-depth hour of the KRMG Morning News. Tulsa Police Officer Betty Shelby found not guilty of manslaughter in the shooting death of Terrence Crutcher last year. Here is some of what we heard last night in the hours following the verdict.
We're appreciative that our member was cleared. We felt like that would eventually happen. We took issue early on with how these charges were brought and when they were brought.
In the last few breaths of my brother's life, he laid there alone, and nobody held his hand.
It's hard to stay positive when you got a chance to trip.
Nobody said, Terrence, or hey, are you okay? He had to lay there alone.
It's sad no matter how you look at it. We've spoke of this as a tragedy from the beginning, and it's still a tragedy.
What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people?
Do not incite them.
I'm going to make sure that I don't rest until we get reform for this police department in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we change the culture of this corrupt police department.
Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, Terrence Crutcher's sister there, and in that montage you also heard from Jared Lindsay from the Fraternal Order of the Police, some of the TPD warnings to the protesters last night after that verdict was returned. Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum and Police Chief Chuck Jordan will hold a news conference at 10 o'clock this morning to talk about the verdict. We will bring you that news conference live on News 102.3 KRMG. Over the next hour, we're going to look at the jury's verdict and reaction to it in depth. And we begin with our legal analyst for the Shelby trial, Tulsa attorney and former Oklahoma Assistant Attorney General Tim Gilpin. Good morning, Tim. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It took the jury 9 hours to reach their decision. 9 hours all in one day from the time they got the case until they rendered their decision last night about 10:30 or so. In your experience, does 9 hours of deliberation indicate that some of the jurors had to be persuaded?
In my experience, what that indicates is that they really considered the evidence. They went over it carefully. They reviewed those videos and probably debated back and forth. And that's what they should be doing.
Do you think they held more than one vote?
I would assume so.
Yeah, so some did have to be persuaded then. Otherwise, they would have stopped after the first vote, I would imagine.
That's right. I mean, if a jury comes right back out, then you know they sat down and said, we think we know what we're going to do. Here it is. Let's take a vote right away. And sometimes they'll do that. Sometimes they will sit down, elect a foreperson, and go ahead and say, let's have one vote and see just where we're at.
We're going to wait today and see if any of those jurors are willing to talk to the media individually. They seemed like they wanted to talk as a group before they rendered or while they rendered their verdict last night. They passed out, they passed out a jury form, but it had a special note on it.
That's right. That's really unusual. Usually a jury goes ahead and does its job, checks in the form, and hands it back out to the clerk or the bailiff and says, we're ready to go. Then they come back out, the judge reads the verdict, and it's done. The fact that they wanted to explain it is unusual, and it's not done in court. The idea is to have a clear, crisp, concise verdict, and then if they want to talk to the media afterwards, or individuals or other members as a group, they can do that.
But it's you're never going to see a judge say, sure, jury foreman, tell us what was on your mind when you rendered that verdict.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
The other thing is they said, they asked the judge, how do we do this? Which I thought was unusual as well. They had jury instructions. What were they trying to get to there when they asked him how it had to be done, do you think?
You know, the way I interpreted that is they had their discussion, they were reaching a verdict, and some of the jurors wanted to explain it. So they would send out a note and say, how are we going to do this, and here's what we want to do, can we do it? And of course, the court said no.
DA Steve Kunzweiler took a lot of heat for how quickly he charged Betty Shelby here, and post the verdict, of course, it didn't go his way. He praised the jury, didn't really defend his decision to charge Betty Shelby, but he still continues to take flack from people who said, look, you jumped into this and did it for political reasons. Is this a major mark on Steve Kunzweiler's record as district attorney?
Boy, it's hard to tell right now. Any district attorney, quite frankly, is going to make popular decisions and a lot of unpopular decisions. When you're a district attorney or an attorney general or a judge, there's always going to be somebody mad at you. And there's always going to be somebody who thinks you did the right thing. It's never going to be a good guy all the time type of situation.
Hmm. This trial went, I remember, it seems like Monday was like last week Monday. But it was just Monday, and we were talking on Tuesday morning about, to my perception, how slowly it seemed jury selection was going for this. From that moment on, from Tuesday morning until last night, this thing seemed to move very quickly.
Yeah, it sure did. In fact, from an attorney's perspective, the jury selection was fairly quick, considering the magnitude of the case. And then the court is in charge of the pace of the evidence, and the court pushes the attorneys and says, we're going to start at this time. You are going to get your witnesses up on the stand. And it's the attorney's job to have that done. You don't want to bore the jury. You don't want the jury to think they're wasting their time.
Does Officer Betty Shelby have any recourse now? Can she, for instance, file a civil suit against the district attorney for the speed with which he charged her?
Anybody can file a civil suit. The trick is does it have merit and is it going to go anywhere? In this situation, it's a very difficult case. It would be a civil rights case trying to say that the prosecutor violated her civil rights and did not follow the correct procedures and didn't do them in good faith. Because in a criminal situation, you go through a preliminary arraignment and an initial judge makes that determination whether the charges can go forward, that's extremely difficult. You'd have to prove, which is, I've tried to do it before, it's hard, that the prosecutor acted essentially in bad faith.
On the other hand, does the Crutcher family have any recourse here? Can they file a civil suit?
I think the Crutcher family is probably looking at a civil suit. The level of evidence and the level of burden of proof is much different in a civil suit. In a criminal suit, it's beyond, or in a criminal action, it's beyond reasonable doubt. It is just preponderance of the evidence in the civil suit. So I suspect, given that they have lawyered up, that that's what they're looking at right now.
You weren't in the courtroom, I know, every day. But this seemed to hinge on, did he reach in the car, did he not reach in the car? And there was a kind of a seminal moment on that last day when, you know, the prosecution says, well, he clearly reached, you know, the defense said he clearly reached in the car. When the other says, I can't believe you said that. They tried to get the mistrial twice. Is that what this really came down to, was whether or not his left hand went in the car?
It may well. I mean, it's hard to crawl into the jurors' heads. But if you think of it like this, there's an officer giving you commands. There's an officer pointing a gun at you, giving you commands. At that point, honestly, I would do whatever that officer told me to do. And if you continue to move, and if you continue to move towards your car, it raises a whole series of alarms in a police officer's mind. What they're thinking of is the weapon in the car, or is this person going to get in that car and run me over? Or is this person going to get in that car and drive away and I haven't done my job and I've let loose potentially someone dangerous?
Was it clearly established in the trial whether that driver's side window was up or down?
Apparently the jury thought so.
Well, I guess so. All right. You're listening to a special edition of the KRMG Morning News, 810 right now.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
Taking your open mics about the not guilty verdict in the Betty Shelby manslaughter trial.
I think they need to add something to their hands up, don't shoot. It needs to be hands up, don't disobey the officer, the officer won't shoot.
As far as the verdict, it doesn't surprise me. This is a very conservative state. But all I know is Officer Shelby was the judge, jury, and executioner that night. She has to live with that.
I expect every so-called preacher and reverend that was out there telling their congregations to pray to God for justice, that they are now telling that same congregation to forgive and that this was the justice that was served. If not, they're a hypocrite and exposes their true intentions.
Your thoughts? Hit the open mic button on your KRMG app. If you don't have the app, very, very simple, very easy and free to download from the App Store. Available for both iPhone and Android. And we'd love to hear your open mic. Immediately after the verdict, Tiffany Crutcher, who is the sister of Terrence Crutcher. Of course, Terrence Crutcher was the one shot to death by Officer Shelby. Dr. Tiffany Crutcher speaking to supporters of the Crutcher family and to reporters after the verdict last night.
Tough pill to swallow. The facts were there. All the elements of manslaughter was there. Terrence's hands were up. Terrence was not an imminent threat. Terrence did not attack her. Terrence did not charge at her. Terrence was not the aggressor. Betty Shelby was the aggressor. Betty Shelby had the gun. Betty Shelby was following him with his hands up. Betty Shelby murdered my brother. And after she murdered my brother, all of the officers involved with the Tulsa Police Department tried to cover for her. What I got out of this case is that a cover-up was exposed. A cover-up was exposed. And they walked by my brother to go check on Betty Joe. In the last few breaths of my brother's life, he laid there alone. And nobody held his hand. Nobody said, Terrence, or hey, are you okay? He had to lay there alone. And these are officers who are paid to serve and protect us. Paid and served to protect us. Trained to deal with people who are supposedly intoxicated or inebriated. But yet you use deadly force. No weapon was found. Terrence had just left school. Terrence had just left Tulsa Community College. Because he wanted to do something with his life. And I just thank God that he doesn't judge us as our sins deserve. Yeah. So all of the critics that are out there who are trying to judge my brother's last statement was, God is going to get the glory out of my life, and I'm going to make sure that I don't rest until we get reform for this police department in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we change the culture of this corrupt police department. Yes. And I believe that all of those officers involved, they're going to be held accountable. Because this family right here, we believe in a higher power. Amen. We believe in a higher judge. Yeah. Amen. And so now we got to go home. We have to go home and hug on his four kids and love on them and explain to them a system that's perpetuated so much injustice, a justice system that's perpetuated so much injustice. And I promise you, I won't rest until we break that chain. Let's go.
Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, after the verdict last night, not guilty for Betty Shelby in the shooting death of Terrence Crutcher, September of 2016. Tim Gilpin's our legal analyst for this trial, Tulsa attorney and former assistant Oklahoma attorney general.
Tim, we had a question by Facebook, and we are on Facebook Live right now. You can follow it on our Facebook page, and you can ask questions right there. We, of course, know that PCP was found in Terrence Crutcher's system. The question was that introduced in court? I'm not sure. Do we know that?
I believe there was some evidence as to that, as to the PCP and the level of it or the acuteness of it in his system at the time.
Yeah, but his prior drug use, that's something the judge said could not be introduced as evidence, his history of drug use.
Right, and that makes sense because think of it this way. The trial is about what happened on that evening at that time. Something about prior use or something of that sort would be, wouldn't have entered into the officer's calculation at the time, couldn't have. She wasn't on a call where she had information on Mr. Crutcher at the time. And that's what the court has to narrow the issues to. What was there at the time?
But the family maintains that it was, and they keep saying that it was Terrence Crutcher that was put on trial.
Right, and that's an unfortunate circumstance. But sometimes the victim's state of mind and the person who was killed and what they were doing, what their influence was or wasn't, is what the officer saw and what the officer had to evaluate in split seconds. So I suspect that's why that evidence came in.
Another question on the Facebook page. Is that why you're handing this to me? Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a moment. What do you think of Judge Drummond's handling of this case? Did he have firm control over it from start to finish?
Well, we had a judge who's got a lot of prosecutorial experience in his background, has been on the bench for a couple of years. I think he did a good job.
This is a special edition. News 102.3 Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. And the home of the three big things you need to know. Listen on air, online at KRMG.com and on the KRMG app. The KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour starts now.
Good morning, 8:30. Cloudy skies, 74 degrees in Tulsa. Warm, humid day. Some rain coming in after dark tonight. Could be severe storms late in the night. High today, 88. We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes on the KRMG. Morning News with Dan Potter, number three. Happening today, day one on the job for Special Counsel Robert Mueller. The Justice Department yesterday appointing the former FBI director to lead the investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election. Number two. Breaking early this morning, a woman in East Tulsa, the victim in the city's latest homicide. Police say that woman was shot in the forehead while being robbed by two men outside the Sawmill Apartments near 41st and 129th East Avenue. And number one. Our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter, not guilty. That is the verdict reached by a jury after 9 hours of deliberations in the Betty Shelby case. Fox 23 and KRMG's Preston Jones was at the courthouse.
Betty Shelby rushed out of the courthouse last night. She did not give any interviews after the verdict, but her attorneys told the Associated Press Shelby is elated, very proud of her jury, and ready to move on with her life. Terrence Crutcher's dad told us that he is willing to accept the jury's verdict.
I believe in my heart that Betty Shelby got away with murder, and I don't know what was in the mind of that jury.
And we're hearing from you about the verdict via open mic this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night justice was served. Whether justice sided with you or not is not the determination of whether or not justice was served. Justice was served by the intent of the system.
If you want to change the police department, fill out an application and change from within. Be a part of the cure for the city of Tulsa.
For all of those saying the verdict proves racism, how about the verdict proves she was simply not guilty? Get over it.
Our publicity-seeking District Attorney Kunzweiler received a slapdown from the Betty Shelby jury. Well done, jurors.
Anyone with common sense knew that she was not guilty. All those people there last night, they just wanted to be seen and be heard, trying to be somebody. Get a life and get a job.
No matter the verdict, one side or the other was going to be upset about it. What the jury did is they let the evidence do the talking, and I believe that they made the right decision.
This is a special edition of the KRMG Morning News, 8 a.m. in-depth hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
I'm Dan Potter with Rick Corey, joined by our legal analyst for the Betty Shelby trial, Tim Gilpin, who is a Tulsa attorney, and also joined by Fox 23 and KRMG's Preston Jones, who covered this trial pretty much from jury selection right through to the verdict last night. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning, Dan.
What was it like in the courtroom when that verdict was announced?
It's certainly an experience I will never forget. There was a lot of emotions coming from every different side of the courtroom. As soon as Judge Drummond said not guilty, we looked over and we could see Betty Shelby hugging her attorney. Obviously, the right outcome for them. That's what they wanted. If you looked over to the left, you could see the Crutcher family getting very emotional. Some deep sighs, people upset. Some of them started to cry. And then if you looked at the jury members, you could see I counted at least three of them starting to cry. Also visibly upset. The judge said that this was a very difficult case for everyone involved.
Yeah, this jury does deserve some thanks and some praise for enduring what is a very difficult trial, giving up a week of their personal lives to make sure that justice was served and to come to a verdict.
Those jurors, though, didn't have anything to say right afterward.
They did not. The deputies escorted them out of the courthouse last night, but we believe at some point the jury wanted to say something. That was part of the question that they sent, part of the note that they sent to the judge around 6 or 7 in the night, asking how they could deliver the verdict and also asking if they could give a statement as to the reason why they had gotten to the verdict. Judge Drummond said they could not do that. That's not part of the legal process, but from what it sounded like, they did want to say something.
You know, one of the things that we heard from several people down there yesterday, including the judge, was he thought it was the most studious jury he'd ever been around. He said they took a ton of notes, that kind of thing. So many people thought this might go faster yesterday. Did you see that same thing from the jury? And do you think that's part of the reason it took a little bit longer?
The jury did seem very attentive. They were certainly taking many notes during the trial, all of them filling up their notebooks. And then one morning they forgot to bring the notebooks in, and the jury was very quickly to point out, hey, we need our notebooks quickly. So they were certainly paying attention. From what I've seen in these cases, either they decide quickly or it takes them a long time. So once you kind of pass the hour point, you know it's going to be a while.
The jury, and we were talking with Tim Gilpin about this, the jury taking 9 hours, but reaching that verdict before the end of the day yesterday. That, to me, indicates that some of the jurors did need to be persuaded, that they may have had more than one vote, and that some of the jurors initially may have voted guilty, but were persuaded then to vote not guilty.
Well, when you're in a room with 12 other jurors, because it ended up just being 13 of them, I can only imagine how you work that out amongst yourselves, being in that room for such a long period of time, but they had to be talking about something. And they also had a lot of evidence to review. The DA, the attorneys told them to look at the videos, look at all of that evidence. So we know they probably spent a good amount of time doing that.
Just so happens we have somebody here who can talk to that process. Tim, when the jury is in there, when they are deliberating, and it's time to take a vote, how does that work? Is it different with every jury?
It can be. I mean, the jury process back in their jury room is sort of a mystery to everybody. But typically what happens when you look at it, when you talk to them, when you study it, is that they sit down, they elect a foreperson, and then they begin to feel each other out. Where are they coming from? What are their thoughts about it? They may take an initial vote, or they may just have an open discussion. At some point, someone's going to say, I want to go through the evidence. And then they'll start spilling the evidence out on the big table. Maybe review the videos, discuss that, discuss the paper evidence, the charges, the elements of the charges, and then maybe debate back and forth and have more votes until they reach a conclusion. Interesting that this jury wanted to explain its verdict, which is a no-no in the law. You don't want to set up an appeal. You don't want the verdict to look like it can be questioned, like they weren't certain. In other words, it's guilty or not guilty, not guilty because you're setting up an appeal.
You know, we also had a question someone had asked. Okay, the jury wasn't sequestered, but the judge made it clear you're not leaving till we're finished. Is that fairly normal?
Well, I mean, each judge is king or queen in their courtroom within the bounds of the law and the rules. So typically what's called a stern instruction on you're going to finish this before you leave tonight comes a little bit later in the process. But each judge is a little bit different. I was a little surprised he gave that in the beginning, but he can do that.
To me, it sounded like Judge Drummond was saying, look, the state's broke. We don't have money to sequester you. You got to get this done, and you're going to stay here until it is.
And that's a really good point, because the state is broke. And as everyone, it's not just our schools. It's not just our hospitals. It's also our judiciary, because it takes money to bring jury pools in, to pay jurors, to house them if it's overnight. And they just don't have it right now.
8:38, you're listening to a special in-depth 8 a.m. hour on the KRMG Morning News. Earlier this morning, Rick spoke with Oklahoma Senator James Lankford about the not guilty verdict for Betty Shelby and the reaction to that verdict.
The most painful thing about trials is there's always a decision at the end, and juries have to go through the process to be able to look at evidence in a way that no one else has the opportunity to be able to look at evidence and be able to walk through it and make an incredibly difficult decision. And while this is painful for Tulsa and for all of Oklahoma, and quite frankly for the nation on both sides of the issue, this is one of those moments that we continue to look at our justice system and say it's the best system in the world, and we continue to be able to work together to be able to resolve differences. Where we have disagreements, we go to the courts and we settle disagreements. That's how we've always done it, and so we'll continue to be able to work through the process. And I agree for both the Shelby family and for the Crutcher family and for the pain that has continued and will continue for their entire life as they walk through this together. So as a community and as a state, we should walk together, grieve together, struggle together, work to improve processes together. But in all things that we do, make sure we do it together.
Senator James Lankford speaking earlier this morning. 10 o'clock this morning, Mayor G.T. Bynum and Police Chief Chuck Jordan will hold a news conference. Rick, I imagine there will be a lot of words about healing and moving on in that statement.
I would think so. Here's what's really been interesting in my conversations with G.T., and we talk to him weekly, and I actually was texting some last night, and that is he continues to point out that he wants to deal with what he sees as a racial issue in this city and inequality. He talked about the life expectancy in North Tulsa as opposed to South Tulsa. That's important to him. I'm sure that he's going to talk about moving forward today. We tried to get him last night. They were very clear about the fact they only wanted to do this once. Chuck Jordan's going to be with him. But I think we're going to hear about that today, too. I think that's going to be part of what he says. And if we do, that does open up more. I mean, that doesn't necessarily end anything. That gives you more to talk about as you go forward.
Tim? You know, that's an important point because a criminal trial is not a terrific place to settle public policy. It's about one individual or more and what they did or didn't do. Public policy really is the job of our politicians and our community leaders. So hopefully, no matter what side you come down on this trial or these issues, the community and our leaders will address the problems that a segment of our community is complaining about, that they're being treated differently, because we're all going to be better off if everyone works together. Then we're going to be prosperous.
Preston, you did a great job of describing the scene in the courtroom when the verdict was read. Then you went outside. What did you see?
Outside, it was pretty much a madhouse for a few minutes in the hallways. The Crutcher family was coming out pretty quickly, getting very emotional. And then outside the courthouse, there was a bunch of Crutcher supporters out there shouting, screaming, showing how upset they were. For several hours, they were in downtown Tulsa marching around in various places.
We'll pick up that story there from the courthouse over to the Mayo Hotel and tell you what happened there.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
This Tulsa jury just gave cops everywhere who are already shoot-happy a license to be more shoot-happy. Wow.
It's important to note 12 jurors found her not guilty. Of those 12, 3 or 25% were black. That's twice the 12% population of black Americans. This was a good verdict.
Yeah, I was wondering when they're going to replace the Tulsa's DA over the Betty Shelby trial that should have never went to court.
The jury made the right decision. Tiffany Crutcher can use this with her doctorate degree as a platform to address the role and value of compliance in treating substance dependency, kind of like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Let's give Tulsa a little credit for not blowing up over the not guilty verdict. Justice prevailed. And don't read it like it's a big surprise she's not guilty.
He should have been doing what she asked him to, but at the same time, she knows better than to fire before she sees some kind of a weapon or something. I understand she was scared, but there needs to be some kind of punishment there.
It is 8:49. I'm Dan Potter. This is a special 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour, the KRMG Morning News, along with Rick Corey, Preston Jones from Fox 23 and KRMG News, and our legal analyst for this trial, Tim Gilpin, Tulsa attorney and former assistant Oklahoma attorney general. Tim, to you first. One of the comments there that we heard via open mic about replacing Steve Kunzweiler, of course, this is an elected position, so to answer their question, it's when the next election is. But it made me think, there got to be some attorney friends of yours who are sharpening their knives and getting ready to go after District Attorney Kunzweiler in the next election, using this as their ammo.
There really might be some opportunists out there. Politics is a business of opportunity and chance, but honestly, a district attorney, that's not a popular job. I don't know if we should be punishing our district attorneys because they take on the hard cases that aren't necessarily the best winners. We want district attorneys who are going to look at the merits of the charges, the merits of the facts, bring their cases, argue them well. Now, had he not done a good job in the courtroom, had he failed, and I think he did present his case as well, then that's a different issue for an election in the future. But politics is politics. There's going to be somebody out there no matter what. District Attorney's office is going to be up, I think, in 2 years.
I can hear some of our listeners saying, well, he didn't get the verdict he wanted, therefore he did fail, ultimately.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, that kind of job means you take your chances every day, and the failure is not necessarily meaning he has lost the case. It's whether he is doing his job, bringing the right cases, and doing the best he can in the courtroom.
Preston?
I was there last night. It was a very somber tone when the DA gave a statement after, just to quote him here, he said, "I had to charge someone from the law enforcement community, and I knew the consequences that came with that." He went on to say the jury made a decision based off the evidence that there had to be a jury in this case, and he says that they are moving forward. But again, a very somber tone from him last night
following
that verdict.
Speaking of moving forward, for both of you, in this situation, what does Betty Shelby do? Does she move forward? She's still a police officer. Does she go back to work? Do you normally see them go back to work like that, Tim?
You can. What happens is the police department has their own rules and regulations regarding this situation. They have their own administrative process as to what they're going to do with an officer who's been in this circumstance. They do an evaluation. There may be a dismissal. There may be a suspension. We don't know yet. The police chief, I assume, will answer some of those questions maybe today. Then, and maybe more importantly, Officer Shelby and her family have to make the difficult decision of what the next step in her career is. I believe, if I remember correctly, her husband's a police officer too.
Right.
So that's the FOP president was correct. This is a disaster for everybody. It's not a win for anybody. Her life is altered forever. The Crutcher family's life is altered forever too.
Tim, thank you so much for your expertise and letting us bother you all week long. You've always been available for us. We appreciate it very much. Preston, we thank you for your coverage from the courthouse and from the trial. Now Tulsa moves on, and as one of the callers said earlier this morning, this city has shown its true fabric here in that we did not come apart at the seams last night.